Hello, baby. That's right. Oh, folks, it's Brian, and as Layton is going to say later in the episode, I am, quote, on one today. Because this is a really fun episode. We are back. We had some various things going on last week that caused us to air a rerun, our first ever. But I hope you enjoyed it. And no matter what you enjoy, although I assume one of the things you enjoy is this very podcast, please go to patreon.com/latentnight to support us over there. We've got a video version of this week's episode, and it's a really fun one. So go hit us up over there. Subscribe at any level for the video versions. Enjoy this show. You rushed that clap. That clap, you went 3, 2, 1, clap. Let's try that again.
Jesus, and do it right this time. That's the most condescending tone you've ever taken with me.
You rushed the clap. I'm sorry to say, it's not judgmental. It's just a statement of fact.
Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, clap. That was
Now that was
quiet
great.
Clap on my part.
Yeah, but I could tell it was in time. It's like that scene from Whiplash, right? Are you rushing or dragging?
Not my tempo, baby.
Where he slaps the guy.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Does that movie hold up now?
You know, people talk shit about it, and it obviously has major problems. I like it.
I think it's too.
It's a fun film in many ways.
I just like J.K. Simmons.
He's great. What's his name? Miles Teller. It's fine. Paul Reiser. I'll watch anything with Paul Reiser. I like Paul Reiser.
Who's Paul Reiser?
Paul Reiser is his dad in the movie. He was the co-star of Mad About You with Helen Hunt. He is briefly a Weyland Yutani rep in Aliens. He's in the Beverly Hills Cop movies as Eddie Murphy's partner, Jeffrey. I think that's his name, Jeffrey. He's like a comedian and comic actor. I think he was a stand-up as well, I'm pretty sure, but like legendary stand-up guy, probably in his mid-70s ish now. But
I could simply Google him and I'm choosing not to. Much like a lizard basking on a warm rock, I'm trying to limit my body movements to survive. It's people listening, it's 93 degrees outside.
Oh, it's hotter than that here.
Oh, it's certainly, my phone says that it's 93 degrees, but it feels like 95. And I would venture to say that it feels like more than that.
You know what? I was wrong. It's 94 here. With a projected high of 95.
It potentially feels cooler outside than it does in my apartment at this moment, even though I have fans and AC running, which is insane. So this is a really comfy moment for us to be recording because my face is like, there's no friction. It's slick. I don't think it's picking up, but I am.
I don't see it. You look great to me.
Thank you. I don't feel great. And with that ringing endorsement of my current state of being, welcome to Layton Night with Brian Wecht. I'm Layton Gray.
And I'm Brian Wecht.
Wonderful. I've never seen you in this hat before. What's this hat?
It's my color TV hat. That is the extent of it. It is just a hat that says color TV in kind of a retro 60s-esque font. Might be a Merch Motel item. Might not be. I don't recall.
Are you saying this hat simply materialized into your possession?
I can tell you where I purchased it. I purchased it at a Bob Baker Marionette Theater event. They had, I believe it's Bob Baker Day, they call it, where they do a bunch of puppet shows and other such things. And this was, I believe, pre-pandemic that we got it, probably 2019. And we went to, it was a park near, I think it was near Chinatown, if I recall correctly, and took Audrey to watch some little puppet things. It's very cute. Bob Baker. I love Bob Baker. For those of you outside Los Angeles, Bob Baker is a legendary institution here. It's a marionette theater. Have you ever been, Layton? I'm assuming not.
No, but I've driven past it many a time.
Well, so it used to be right near downtown forever, since like whenever it opened in the 60s. And then it recently, as in like 2020, moved to like Highland Park kind of area. I think it's right on York now. And it is a marionette theater with the coolest part is a lot of their audio. So they basically play audio and then do puppet things with it. But a lot of their audio is the original like stuff put together by Bob Baker. And it's very of a time and very weird. It's there's a lot of stuff from the 40s and 50s in it. And it's just the audio quality. Now, I haven't been in a few years. Rachel and Audrey have gone more recently. Audio quality, I remember being terrible. Like, but in a way that makes it cool and fun.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the marionettes range from, oh my God, this rules type of creepy to, whoa, this sucks type of creepy. And everything.
Can you quantify whoa, this sucks creepy?
Like, just creepy. Why get that thing out of here. I don't want it to kill me type puppet.
I don't know. I feel like if you're going to die, death by puppet is a pretty cool way to go.
Well, look, no argument here. I guess in public actually would be the coolest version of that, too.
If on you're a stage.
Well, one interesting thing about Bob Baker is the puppets are not, the stage is the floor. So you sit on the ground. They have chairs for adults, but kids sit on the ground, and the stage is like there's an outline on the carpet, and anything in the outline is the puppet stage. And the other cool thing about Bob Baker is that it's not like old people doing the puppets. It's like young people. So they have an active puppeteering community.
Why would it be old people?
Well, I don't know. You know, there's not that many. You don't think of marionetteering as a young person's game, right? It's just nice to see that people are being trained and, you know, are actively doing it. And I think it's mostly Angelinos, but I could be wrong about that. But it's cool. I would happily go back. They have a really great Halloween show every year. And it is a institution in LA and kind of a must see, especially if you have kids. But honestly, for anyone visiting, I would put it up there as like a weird thing you won't get elsewhere.
Wow. All right. Yep. It'll go on the list of things I'm probably never going to do.
Well, we can all go with Audrey if you want.
We could. That would be very nice.
It's nice to go with a kid.
I can imagine, especially if it's your own kid and not a random child.
Would you consider Audrey neither of those?
I just mean in the sense of just trying to imply that you're going to a puppet show with random children.
Usually no. I don't just kind of find random kids and take them to puppet shows. Usually no. I've got ever since. Well, I can't talk about this.
The incident.
Incidents. Plural. It's really, my lawyers have advised me to not discuss these things for fear of further reprisal from various communities who kind of won't let a guy just be, you know, himself.
Reprisals is such a great word.
Well, I've had plenty of those in my life, especially on stage. So speaking of things I've taken Audrey to recently, we just got back from a thing, but I'm going to talk about two things. We went to a Dodger game last night.
You say Dodger games and not a Dodgers game?
What would I would say a Dodgers game, a Dodger game. I guess I would use those interchangeably.
You've now repeatedly said that you went to a Dodger game, which just is interesting.
Yeah. I guess that is interesting. I think I would use them kind of interchangeably. I went to a Dodgers game, a Dodger game. Yeah, I've heard it. I think I've heard people say Dodger game. Maybe it's something I say. But here's my question. Okay, so I didn't ask you. We had an extra ticket. Rachel, because I bought tickets for the family, Rachel didn't go because she wanted to rest because she has COVID. which Daddy gave me. You're welcome. And she wanted to stay home and rest, so we had an extra ticket. And I thought about offering it to you, and then I thought, you know what? That doesn't seem like a kind of thing Layton would want to do.
That's so true.
Would that be fair if I had offered you a Dodger ticket?
I would have likely said no.
That's kind of what I figured. However, maybe, you know, if you're interested, we can always go to a game in the future.
Someday, yes. Due to my recent acquiring of a Steam Deck, my social calendar is going to be very...
No, I understand. Just,
you know, I'm very busy, very, very busy with playing Fallout New Vegas again.
If only you had acquired the Steam Deck in tandem with the foot injury, that would have been... I mean, actually, that's kind of a net positive, right?
I should have done that. And I don't know. Actually, no, I know I didn't do that because I had medical bills. But, you know, it was my little birthday present to myself and is going to ruin my life because the ability to play my games in bed, including a heavily modded Fallout New Vegas, is kind of a game changer.
In bed, like the fortune cookie.
Yes, I will have much luck in
bed.
Yeah. I actually have taped to my monitor. I don't even remember what place that I went to, but I got two fortune cookies. And the first fortune was, among the lucky, you are the chosen one. And the second fortune was, among the lucky, you are the chosen one. So I have both of them taped on my monitor because lucky indeed.
Have I discussed, I feel like we talked about this on the show, or maybe it's just a thing I think about a lot, that I think, you know, there's the in-bed thing, which everybody says.
I was going to ask you to ignore this. I'm trying to blot the sweat off my face, and it's really unbecoming.
Luckily, once again, as happens on this from time to time, the video feed is slightly delayed, so I'm watching you do it. Out of time. Oh yeah, look at that napkin stick there, huh?
It's not even working because my face is so wet.
It's great.
Disgusting. All right.
Well, I was speaking of that, I was going to say rather than say in bed, I think it's funnier to add while fucking or whilst fucking to the end of fortune cookies if you're not in the company of minors. So if you're among adults and you get a fun little fortune, which was, what was yours?
Among the lucky, you are the chosen one.
While fucking.
I would hope that I was the chosen one while fucking.
Well, it depends. There are situations these days, especially, you know, with modern relationships sometimes.
Right.
There might be a bunch of people present. And, you know, sometimes you just got to wait your turn.
Sure. Yeah. The
while that's... fucking.
I like that you've fallen on the side of while and not whilst on that.
I can be a poser in many ways, but I'm not going to pretend to be British. I'm not that sort of chap.
You're on one today, Brian. I always know that it's going to be an interesting Brian energy when you adopt the talk show host thing of like, oh, I've got my little pen that I'm going to waggle at you.
That's it's not a conscious choice, but I do have my waggler here.
Your waggler?
Nice chewed end there, as you can perhaps see.
Very nice.
Well, so what I was going to say is I am on one because I just got back with my daughter from the Neon Retro Arcade in Pasadena, which it's like an entrance fee and then unlimited play on everything. And it's all like 80s cabinets.
Yo.
And then some pinball too.
Oh, yes. I was immediately about to ask, what is the pinball situation?
They had a Jaws pinball machine.
Oh, sick.
Which I didn't do any of the pinball there because we only had an hour and I didn't, you know, I've got my burger time agenda that I need to achieve. I don't remember what other pinball games. I think they just have a list of them on their website. But it was Audrey's first time playing Q-Bert.
Wow. First time did she playing, like it?
She was mad at it, but she called it addictive. So
okay.
Yeah. I love Q-Bert.
I know you do.
I know you do. In fact,
they have Adam's family there. Well,
they do.
I guess
yes, they have Adam's Family. Yep.
I guess I'm going then.
And it's $15 for an hour or $25 for all day, which I would call $15 for an hour kind of on the expensive side, but $25 for all day kind of on the cheap side. So
yeah,
we just did an hour because I kind of wanted to, you know, I had to come back for this. I would definitely go back. It was awesome.
Wow. Okay. I guess we've both had IRL arcade experiences in the past.
I heard you went with a couple of visitors recently.
Yes. The visitors and I went to 82 in the Arts District, which I haven't been to in a long time, which for non-LA people, which is most of you, is just, it's a pinball bar. They have a bunch of cabinets, actually way more than they did the last time I went, but just like a whole room with a bunch of pinball. And it was delightful. There is the social pressure.
You had the one-sided smile there for a second. you did your thing, which you do sometimes when you're about to be amused by something, where you kind of...
Yes, I'm considering being amused by it. It's the social pressure of being, liking pinball a lot, being hot, being bad at pinball is a dangerous game to play in a pinball
bar.
By
hot, you mean attractive?
Yes.
Yes.
Describe. It's just like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just bad at it. If anybody comes up to me, you know, I don't want to fucking deal with it. Okay.
Did you have a bunch of young gentlemen approach you to help you with pinball?
Not to help me, but to give me tokens and stuff, clearly with some intent, which, you know, hey, free shit. Love that. But also, like, just let me camp on Sopranos.
I'm really sorry. Can we just can it with the misandry just for one episode, please?
How are men supposed to meet partners in the first place? Like, where are they supposed to go?
If you can't just hurl pinball tokens at a potential mate.
Yes.
Fling them in a manner that might injure one.
Yeah, bounce it off me.
Never mind. I'm not going to complete that thought.
All right.
I was going to say that way you can check various forms of fitness.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. And if you hit the right spot, it triggers the multi-ball.
Yeah, that's right. If you're lucky.
Yeah. I'm...
I love it when you're dismissive. It really is one of my favorite ladies.
It's also my favorite.
Received. That's what I call that expression.
I'm not good at pinball. I really love it. I love playing it. I don't want anybody to watch me play it. I just want to do it in peace and to be left alone. And I think maybe I was a little bit more sensitive to, like, why is this guy giving me tokens? Because I had another getting hit on in a Lyft incident. And
Wow.
Brian, I'm tired. I just want to get driven to a place for the person that I'm paying to drive me to a place.
So what happened this time?
It's in the genre of... Because there's, like, older Lyft driver hitting on you, and it's creepy and scary. And then there's, like, the variant that I've been running into more that's just, like, awkward young schnerd. Mm-hmm. And it's not frightening. It's just, like, dude, don't do the thing that you're doing. And it's maybe my... this makes me sound like such a bitch, but it's my least favorite thing when someone is flirting with you and they keep circling around directly saying something. So they'll shoot off strays. And then when I give you a non-reaction to the stray, you get more bold. And it's like,
so can please specifics here.
I'm not missing the cue. I saw and heard the cue and chose to ignore the cue. That's not your move to, like, oh, well, she's really not getting it.
You have to give us some examples here.
It was just like the escalation from, like, wow, your sunglasses are really cool. I really like your name. Leading up to, as I'm getting out, he's like, oh, you're really pretty, by the way. God bless. God bless. I just, because it was like a normal, friendly conversation, but he was clearly, you know, tossing in the little compliments. And it's like, I know what you're going to say when I get out of this vehicle, my guy. Don't need to do it.
Well, here's the question. Is there any situation in a Lyft where you would respond positively to that? Or
no.
Is it just like, right, okay, so that's what
I'm paying
it's
you to provide
place.
A service.
Don't fucking do it, right?
Even like when I was waiting for it, I got the little pop-up that was like, this driver is deaf or hard of hearing. Learn, you know, be mindful of that and learn how to do your little like ASL thank you. And I was like, oh, neat. I've never encountered this before in a Lyft. Let's do it. No mention of it. It seemed perfectly fine.
But he's hard of taking hints.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I just like, is the solution, am I just too nice? To like, if a Lyft driver tries to talk to me, I feel awkward if I don't at least respond to questions. I'm not being flirty, for the love of God. I'm paying you to take me to a location. If you want to talk, fine. Like, I'm not going to give you one word answers and just sit here, but I am edging closer to having to do that because I just don't want to fucking deal with it.
Yeah. I would like credit for not addressing the word edging in the previous sentence. But
good
yes,
for
please
you.
Continue. I would never, ever dream of interrupting you.
I don't know. I feel like an asshole complaining about it, but is it really
no
too much to ask that if I'm paying a ride service at night when I'm alone to go somewhere that the person isn't making it clear like that they might be interested in fucking me?
I think you are 100% in the right. If I were a driver, which I am not. I mean, I'm a driver of culture, but I'm not a Lyft driver. I would never, ever hit on a passenger. Like, no, it's not the time. For exactly the reason you say, it is not the time and place. Also, just from a purely self-interest standpoint, the level of success has to be vanishingly small. But also, don't do it. You're hired for a service.
This is your employment.
Do a thing. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think you are 100% right. I think it's the wrong move to hit on a passenger, or if you're a passenger, hit on a driver for that matter. Like,
yeah.
This is supposed to be a brief exchange between two humans for a particular purpose, and don't muddy it with other shit.
And I've had so many like nice, regular, friendly conversations with drivers, and that's always great. That are normal and doesn't involve them asking if I have a boyfriend and whatnot.
Right.
So there's me complaining about, you know, I got to hang out with my friends and I got hit on a couple of times, so I'm mad about it, but it's please don't. Please.
But I think that, like, okay, I can understand getting hit on at a bar or a pinball room or whatever. That's a social thing. It's going to happen. I mean, it has never happened to me, but I can understand that is a thing that happens in such situations. You know, certainly if you don't want someone to do it, they should stop immediately. But I can understand it happening there. In a fucking car, no. Don't do it. Totally. By the way, when you say older Lyft driver, what age are you talking about? Is it, you know, do you mean older than you? Are you talking about like 70-year-old? What is old?
I'm talking
in that case.
When I say old, it's comparing to the metric of like the young awkward guys who do it, who I would imagine are my age or younger. But when I say older Lyft driver, I mean like above the age of 50. But I would like to be clear that I don't think you're old if you're over 50.
Well, honestly, the reason I was asking was, if I were driving a Lyft, would I be considered a quote older Lyft driver by your current metric, which has nothing to do
by
with
the
hitting
current
on anybody.
Metric?
I'm just
I guess,
on the.
But I wouldn't consider you. I wouldn't be like, oh, I had this old, decrepit Lyft driver.
Oh, well, then you and my daughter disagree about something.
Yeah, I know.
Which is my oldness.
Thank you for the video that of you haranguing her to wish me a happy birthday. I really enjoyed it.
While she flung herself around.
She was giving it maybe 2% of her attention, so I appreciated it. And also assumed that I was 25, which was nice.
Yeah. But then went to 30.
But then went to 30.
And then went down.
Yeah.
But you are. Well, she did say to me at one point, you know, we were discussing your age, and she said, Leighton doesn't look 27. And I was like, but which way?
My response was,
I think Leighton looks exactly 27. I think you look pretty much your age, which is I would call a compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think you look substantially younger or older, but also for people around your age, you could tell me any age between 20 and 40, and I'd probably believe you.
Yeah, I think it's, I get the people thinking that I'm older than I am, more so from like people who have spoken to me for a while. Like, I, it's less, it's less an appearance thing and more of a personality thing.
You have the bearing of someone older than yourself. I will fully agree with that.
Much older and much more tired. So yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's our misandrist corner.
We yes, like to
engage in a little bit of that every episode of the show. Usually it comes from me, but we're mixing things up this week.
Yeah. Well, would you like to go into the misogyny corner, Brian?
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing is to be a public misogynist. A very, very hip right now in certain certain circles.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think we have, shall we say, an interesting choice to make in the upcoming election. And I can't do this.
Yeah, I know you can't.
I can't do it.
I knowingly backed you into that corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's us weighing in on the topics of the day.
Oh, I have so many other topics. Like,
what other topics do you have?
There's the Olympics. There's the guy who, what is it, hit the pole vault bar with his dick. That was a big story this week. You didn't read this?
No, I didn't.
A,
did
I
you go to
French
the Olympics somehow?
Pole vault. Well, no, actually, yes. Due to penis largeness, I did hit the pole vault bar in Paris from Los Angeles. But that's, you know, that's why they say
low,
for me,
sweet chariots.
Every relationship is a long distance relationship for me.
Because the long distance between your dick and the pole. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Yeah. So apparently, I think he's a French guy, hit the bar with his dick and lost because of it.
Wow.
Pretty great story in the Olympics.
Sorry about your broken dick, Frenchman.
We've been watching a couple of them with Audrey. You know, the, as always, the USA women's gymnastics team is crushing. And it's really fun to watch. That shit is just unfucking believable to me how any human does gymnastics and is not mortally afraid the entire time is just totally beyond me. I don't even understand, and I'm sure people know a lot about this. How do you do your first flip? What is in you where you're like, flip time, let's do this thing, and then you do a flip? That seems like a really big leap from I mean, few things in life are a binary, but one of them is whether you have done a flip and how you go from one side of that to the other. I don't know. That seems very scary to me.
Yeah, that's why one of the insta-deaths in Dream Daddy is attempting a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
I did gymnastics as a kid a good bit until I quit because one of the coaches made me cry too much. When you're used to doing like handstands and walking on your hands and cartwheels and stuff, I never did like a full flip. I did a lot of flips on like bars and stuff.
Yeah, that I can understand more. Yep.
Yeah, you're already up
you're
there.
Supported
you're not
somewhat. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can see how it's not too big of a jump to get there.
That's
still
interesting.
Terrifying.
Still terrifying. And then watching, you know, Simone Biles or whoever fling themselves at insane speeds and do mind-boggling shit is just like, and not die. Unbelievable to me. Like it seems. It just seems crazy. I don't understand how a person does that, and it is so impressive.
Yeah. Next Olympics is here, right?
Next Summer Olympics is here, yeah.
Not looking forward to that one.
I think I might be hosting an event here. Yeah, competitive massage.
Dare I ask what the win condition is?
I just have to really be into it. It's nothing untoward.
So you're
Layton,
subject
please
of the massage? That's
yeah,
the sport?
Of
it's
course.
Not. Okay.
It's nothing. Right. There's none of this like adult shit. It's not like the kind of massages that, you know, you hear about on the radio and stuff. This is a totally normal professional massage. That happens to happen.
How many radio ads are you getting for massages these days, Brian?
A lot. Well, I listen to Spotify's massage radio, right? And a lot of them are borderline, to say the least. Like, they're not going to say happy ending, right? They'll say, they'll use like thinly veiled things like gleeful terminus and things like that. And you know what they're talking about, right?
Yeah, you're listening to your nice playlist of like pan flute music, and there's a little bit of the American Beauty soundtrack in there, and then it comes in with like full slap bass, and you know it's like, oh, it's one of these again.
Yeah. Are you feeling tense down there? That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Continue.
Oh, I feel like I need a soundtrack.
I know. Do we? That was immediately what I was picturing, is that we just add something in post, but
come to budget Margaret's low quality massages. Gleeful termination promised and guaranteed.
Great. Amazing.
I'm really good. I should do more Vo work.
Yeah, a little Vo.
Yeah.
Get that Vo on.
Get my Vo on. Yeah. I wonder. I will always remember. I think about this a lot, actually. Fairly early on in NSP days, we pitched an animated pilot that got, it was through this company, Mondo Media, I think, that Danny was briefly a host at. This is pre-Grumps. And they were just taking ideas for pilots, and we pitched them one, and they went for it. And we recorded the voices for it. I think you can still see this online. There are a couple episodes. It was called DJs and PJs. And it was like a musical thing, which I understand is a separate thing, DJs and PJs, but I don't know if that was after or whatever. Anyway.
Is that a P or a B?
P. PJs and BJs. Pajamas and blowjobs.
Oh, I was missing on both fronts.
Yes. No, it's DJs, disc jockeys, and PJs, pajamas. Yes,
okay.
That is what it is. And so we pitched this thing. They funded it along with a ton of other pilots. I think the idea was like shotgun, you know, a bunch of things and see what worked. Ours did not. We made two episodes, maybe two and a half, before it was summarily canceled. Not good. They're not good. It was kind of the last time we did something that wasn't totally produced by us, because it was such a fiasco. And we recorded it was two main characters, and we recorded the voices for each of them. And then the notes came back, and about my voiceover, the note was, some people have it and some people don't, and you don't. So we're going to recast your part.
That is brutal.
And now whenever I need to do a voice for something, you better believe I hear someone say, some people have it and some people don't, and I don't.
Was that delivered to you vocally or via email?
It was vocal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what it was pretty brutal.
What do you even say to that?
That's a very good question. And all I could say was, look, I'm not, you know, okay. It's not my money. Like,
people have manners and other people though.
Wasn't my choice. Wasn't my money. Wasn't, you know, I was a creator, but also whatever. So this is the mildest version of this happening to people. You know, here all the time, people originate a part in a pilot and then they get recast or whatever. You know, fucking talk to Rachel Dratch or whatever. Like, this happens all the time. And certainly me being cut out of a shitty internet animation that lasted two episodes is very far from the end of the world. However, psychologically, this particular note has stayed with me for quite a while.
It feels like a real lore unlock, because I've heard you use that turn of phrase several times in jest, and now I know what role it plays lurking in your psyche.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I just...
It was there.
Brian definitely didn't text me any additional information about that.
No. I don't provide additional information. I refuse to.
Despite us having done a podcast for 4 years, I certainly don't think I have voice skills whatsoever. I think maybe I've gotten worse at it.
I think you have an awesome voice. I love your voice. Like, yeah. I think you have a great podcasting voice.
People have said that to me. Maybe it's just the self-loathing runs so deep, but I simply cannot conceive of that. But I guess on some level, I don't know anybody who's like, I like my voice. My voice sounds good. I hear my voice in a recorded format and I'm like, fucking awesome, man.
I think you have to be like Don LaFontaine to be like, I got a cool voice, you know? Like, you have to be someone who's famous for a voice to really like it. I do not like my voice either. And yet I have seen some people comment, I like his voice.
I also like your voice, Brian.
Thank you. What is my response to that? They must be lying or delusional.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, this is why when we read stuff out, I ask you to read it because you have like an audiobook voice.
Well, that's very nice to hear. I think part of this is also somewhat affected by years of Dan and Aaron doing impressions of me on Game Grumps, which all sound like this. They're like, hi, I'm Brian Wett. And, you know, and by the way, I have no ill will about this. I think it's genuinely funny. But they really, shall we say, for comedic effect, play up the more nasal quality of my voice, which is definitely there.
It is there, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think I would say I talk like this. I have a PhD. Listen, idiot. You know, that kind of thing.
And talking about how much you hate essential oils all the time, your only personality trait.
That's right. Although, honestly, it's the oils that I really don't like, and a lot of people don't know this about me, it's the inessential ones. It's the ones you don't need, but you eat anyway.
What would you rank as an inessential oil?
Canola, number one. I would say you can get by.
Someone's just lost the Midwestern contingent of listeners.
That's why you bring Waltz in on the ticket to get that back. I would say my homebrew massage oil, which will be used in the upcoming Olympic events, is
what flavor is that oil?
Dirt. Yeah, because I feel like if you're eating oil, you should know you're eating oil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to have it has a little grit to it because I like an exfoliating massage as well.
Right.
So you got to kind of get that in. Now, if you go too hard. As we all know, if you go too hard, that's a bad scene. You can really kind of rub yourself raw. So you need, that's why you need to have professionals do it so that they know what the limit is. They can start feeling, you know, when you've gotten, you know, a few layers of skin away, they're like, okay, we're not going to touch that part anymore unless that guy demands it, which I usually do.
I think having a gritty massage oil is perfect for people who just love when a cat licks your hand.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you.
Do you not like that feeling?
I do not like that feeling. No. Do you?
It's so endearing to me when a cat licks you with its nasty little rough tongue. It's because it's so difficult to like get a cat who likes you. And it's such a sign
true.
Of this cat loves me.
Yeah. No,
that's
it's definitely a compliment. I agree with you there.
I found a kitten, like a little feral kitten wandering around a couple of weeks ago out on the street who was very friendly. She let
Yum.
Me pet her. She, very tasty. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment where I was like, is this my cat now? Do I take this cat? It's just out here.
Valid question. Yeah.
And I did not take this cat. And turns out she has been having dalliances with my other neighbors in the complex has been apparently just straight up walking into their homes like she owns the place.
Wow.
So I've gotten updated pictures of her and she has grown very quickly and is apparently very bold and still doesn't have a name. So I'm imploring my
neighbor.
Oh, let's
name the cat right now. Describe the cat to me.
I could send you a picture of the cat.
Yes, please. We'll post it with this episode.
Yes, indeed. Very sweet. Little creature. If I can find it.
Do you know
I...
the cat's sex?
I'm assuming female. A girl.
Female? Okay, great.
But yeah, I told my neighbor who she's been targeting in particular, of like, you have a chance to name the cat. Not everybody gets to name the cats that hang out around here. So like, you get to add to the lore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Just a, I would call this a generic looking cat.
Yeah.
This is it. Yep, there it is. I would name this cat, let's see, Gwyneth Meowtrel.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Perfect cat name.
That's that cat's name now. My thought was, because when I found her, she was hanging out by a parked RV. I thought RV would be a funny name, or like Harvey.
That's a very, that's yeah, Harvey. Yep, that's a good name for the cat. Or Winnebago. Winnie.
Winnebago is really cute.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And then, you know, she has a connection with the Winnebago man.
Yep. I'm great at naming animals. I'm going to come up with five other great cat names for this cat.
Okay,
right now.
Go. One.
Okay. Lunch meat.
Two.
Pork chop.
Three.
Number two, pencil.
Four.
It's just this sound.
Five.
Audrey.
I like pork chop a lot.
Pork chop's a great name for a cat. See, that's a good improv exercise. That's five things. Five things. Five things, five things, five things.
Do you know this improv game? Are you okay?
This is an improv game. We used to do this as a warm-up. You gather all your improv fucking nerds in a circle and you say, you know, okay, five reasons to miss your own wedding. Go. You know, and they go, one, and you five. Five things. Five things. Five things, five things, five things. And then the person who just did it gives another one, and then someone else takes it.
Right. Okay.
Or they, maybe you call someone out. I can't quite remember how it works. I truly think one of the great joys of my life is that I no longer do improv warm-ups, even though at the time I thought they were super fun, and they can be really fun.
When you're in a room and you like the people in the room, they can be very fun.
They can be great, but I haven't played fucking Zip Zap Zop in about 15 years, and I am richer for
Let's
it.
Let's keep it that way.
Yes, indeed. I wrote this down because something you said made me think of it. Occasionally, I will ask Audrey, who is 10 now, if she has heard current slang words. And I asked her, Audrey, have you heard anyone refer to anything as brat recently? Because people are saying it's brat summer.
Yeah.
Right? And do you think Audrey had heard anyone refer to anything as a brat recently? A 10-year-old who's been going to summer camp all summer.
Yes.
She had not.
Oh.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, no Charlie XCX fans over there, eh?
Although I have to say, I heard some songs from the new album, and they're pretty great.
What I've heard.
I really like them. We've been listening to lots of summer jams over here. We've been listening to Espresso a lot by Sabrina Carpenter, which is a phenomenal song. Phenomenal song. Really great.
I like Sabrina Carpenter not because I know any of her songs. I just think she's cute.
I don't know anything about her. She definitely is cute, but this song is like a retro disco thing and has a fun video, and it's just a... It's nonsense, but in a very, very good way, I think. It has a couple really fantastic like pop song lines, including my favorite, which is, I'm working late because I'm a singer, which I think is just a very fun... What the fuck is that? It just makes no sense. What's the chorus? Is so sad your ex don't do it for you. I walked in and dream came true'd it for you. Something like that.
Very cute.
Very cute line. Like, I don't know what the songwriting team is. If it's just her, if it's a bunch of people. I assume it's a bunch of people because everything is. But it's a great song. And I really like the production. It has an awesome synth lead and a little line in the...
Excellent.
Yeah. So really nice synth sound in it. And I just think it's a great song.
Very, very important. I've reached a point in my modded Fallout New Vegas playthrough. I have like a dozen radio mods, and I want to make a radio mod for Fallout New Vegas. If I thought that it wasn't frustrating enough just installing other people's mods and then breaking essential aspects of the game and then me being fucked because you can't remove things once they're in your saved game, I would like, this is sort of why I was thinking about the voice acting thing, because in a lot of the mods that I use, it'll be like amateur little nerds doing voice acting in like quests for the mods that they made. And some of the radio, I think maybe the most charming one is I have a, it's called Surf Vegas Radio. That's a bunch of like cool Japanese surf rock. And the voice actor is just this, his character's name is DJ Seafoam.
That's adorable.
And is clearly like not a pro, and something about it is so fucking charming every time he cuts in. But the idea of curating my own little weird list of songs, and it being a mod for this old game, very appealing.
What song, what would you put on it? Hit us with your playlist.
It would probably be a variation on the general zone of songs that are typically on Fallout
the zone
radio mods.
Of interest to you for Fallout radio songs.
Yes. It would basically be filling in the gaps of stuff that isn't already on those mods. I can't think of shit off of the top of my head. But like some Laverne Baker. There's why is she not on any of these?
I don't know this name. Who is that?
She's a singer? I don't know. She's good. Hold on. Let me send you a song by her.
Here's an idea. Why don't we come up with a playlist? Not necessarily for that, but let's pick a theme and come up with a playlist. 10 songs, not a playlist.
Okay, I like that. Here, I just dropped you a track. This is Love Me Right by Laverne Baker.
Where'd you drop
really
this?
Good song. In the StreamYard private chat.
Yes, private chat. Okay, I'm going to open this. This is going to fuck everything up. Open Spotify. Don't mind if I do.
I've had Your Smiling Face by James Taylor sitting on top of my recent searches, so I'm just staring into the eyes of Ted Bundy all the time.
Oh, this is great.
It's a really good song.
What a voice. Okay, yeah, I love this.
Yeah, right?
Oh, it's a Bobby Darin song? Crazy.
Yeah.
A Bobby Darin and Don Kirshner. Yeah, okay, I'm into this. Love it.
Yeah, she rules.
Okay, let's come
What's
up. What's
the
our
theme for our playlist?
Well, let's see. I mean, my default playlists are all like 70s soft rock. But
of course, but I think we're maybe going for like a specific vibe.
Yeah, like those playlists that are just like a phrase.
Yeah.
Like music to cut rotten mangoes to or whatever. Let's see. What about a playlist that you could put on in a lift to prevent the driver from hitting on you?
That's funnier than what I was going to suggest. So, yes, dog-earing it. The thing that I was going to suggest is playlist for when you're laying prostrate in front of your air conditioning unit.
Oh, that's good, too.
I hear you scribbling.
Yeah, here. So we're going to have a songs of the fucking summer playlist for when it's too hot.
Yeah, I think the specificity of for when you're laying in front of your AC.
All right, great. Yeah, sure.
Or a fan.
Songs.
Because there's a difference between like songs of the summer and that, which is
for when you're laying or lying. I always forget.
Lying? I think both
one
are
is,
acceptable.
One is like transitive and one is intransitive. Right? I think you lay something down, but you lie down.
You L-I-E down, but you L-A-Y something down. L-I-E does not require a direct object. Lay, L-A-Y, requires a direct object. Okay.
So which one is it? Your... I always get confused. The fact that we're both confused by this means it doesn't matter, is the short answer. So when you're lying, semi-conscious, in front of your air conditioner.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's come up with 10 of these.
Okay,
at least.
Great. My first unoriginal thought is Heat Waves by Glass Animals.
Yep, that's a good choice.
Do you listen to Glass Animals,
Brian? Type this down. Not that much, no.
They're great. I fucking love Glass Animals.
Heat Waves by Glass Animals. That's great.
And I believe that that song became really big on TikTok because it was the name of a Minecraft Dream SMP fan fiction.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. AC playlist. One. Heat. Okay. What's a pick from you?
Well, I feel like we need something cold. Right? Ooh. Like, so why don't
we go... Like an Ice Baby, etc.?
That's a good choice, except that it's awful, which is why we should put it on. So it's Ice Baby. That's it. By Vanilla Ice. Great.
Excellent.
All right, your turn.
Kokomo.
That's a great choice. By the Beach Boys. 1988.
I feel like we've already ruined it with Ice Baby because otherwise it's like I'd listen to this.
We can come back and edit this as we go.
Okay.
That's a really good one. I'm gonna put the song Too Darn Hot, and there's a really nice version by it's from a musical, but I forget. But there's a really nice version by the singer Stacey Kent, which I like a lot. So we're gonna put that on. I believe that's from her album, The Boy Next Door, I think is that album, but I could be wrong. Okay, your turn.
I'm scrolling through my Spotify trying to figure out options. You know what? I'm going to say Remember Walking in the Sand by the Shangri-Las, which more commonly known as the Oh No song, but unlike the sped up annoying version, the original fucks. It's so good.
You mean the TikTok version is the more annoying version?
Yes.
Yes, right. Walking by the Shangri-Las, good. Get some nice 60s stuff in there. That's great. Okay, it's...
You?
It's to me. I'm going to put the song Forever Autumn, again, kind of wishful thinking, which is from Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds. And I can't remember who sings it, but it's from Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds musical from the 70s.
I did not know that was a thing.
I believe. Oh, well, actually, so one of Twerp's recent. Well, probably a couple of years ago now, covers. They did The Eve of War, I think featuring Danny, which is one of the songs from that. I cannot recommend Jeff Wayne's musical War of the Worlds enough. It is maybe one of the dumbest, best things of all time. It is totally insane. Narrated by Richard Burton, who would have thought in the last years of the... And I can't remember how's it go. That minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this earth with envious eyes. You know, it's so cool. It's fucking great.
Awesome.
It's like very disco inflected. It's awesome. So I'm going to put Forever Autumn on this because it's like someday soon, we'll be past this fucking heat.
My next one is going to be kind of following the vibes of Heat Waves in Kokomo. We're going to do Midnight Snack by Mild High Club. Which is very, it's very good. It's just like a very chill, like stoner jam. I think listening to it, you would understand why it's like the I am too hot to move kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
So a chill vibe for a hot day, you know?
Great. Let's go with maybe some irony. We're going to put Another Day in Paradise by Phil Collins.
Nice. Okay.
A bad song by any measure, but very of its time. Mm-hmm. What about something with blowing or winds? Oh, what about Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts?
Sure, I have never heard that song.
I bet you have. It's very popular. I mean, it was like a huge soft rock hit. Huh. Summer breeze, blowing through the jasmine of my mind. Yeah, it's a very It's a late 60s, early 70s, I think. Okay. Seals and Crofts.
Okay. I'm impressed that we haven't gone for too much like yacht rock on this list.
Well, that's one right there.
It is. Okay. I'm going to go for Babies on Fire by Brian Eno in his glam rock era.
Okay, that's 10 if we include Ice Ice Baby.
Let's revise Ice Ice Baby.
Okay.
Because I think that between the two of us, we can make very listenable. Ice Ice Baby throws off the listenability.
What about Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince?
Sure.
Or there's the George Gershwin Summertime, but we don't want that. We want Summertime. And, well, if we're doing that, so Summertime by, let's call it Will Smith. But there's also...
And you don't want to do, like, Ella Fitzgerald Summertime.
Well, that's a different... That's the Gershwin one. Gotcha. That's a better Summertime by any metric, but I think this other one is summerier. There's also... Is it a Summertime Girls or Summer Girls by... Is it LFO? Please tell me you know this fucking stupid song. Layton. Oh, wait. Your whole world is about to change. What's it called?
I found it. It's Summer Girls by LFO.
Yep. Listen to
1999.
This. It's so bad. Summer Girls.
Oh, no.
Maybe one of the worst songs of all time. I'm just going to quote some lyrics for you.
Yeah.
New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food
makes me sick.
I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I'd take her if I had one wish, but she's been gone since that summer.
Okay, great. Well, that one's not going on the list. I think we have a strong 10 on our AC playlist.
I do too. Okay, great. We will not put on Summer Girls. There we go. Now, so just to read these off, we have Heat Waves by Glass Animals. Summertime by probably DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Kokomo by the Beach Boys. Too Darn Hot by Stacey Kent. Remember Walking? Oh, remember, was it Walking in the Sand?
Walking in the Sand. It's like Remember in parentheses.
Walking in the Sand by the Shangri-Las. Forever Autumn by whoever sings that, but it's from the War of the Worlds. Midnight Snack by the Mile High Club. Another Day in Paradise by Phil Collins. Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts. Babies on Fire by Brian Eno. And that's it.
I think that's a pretty good one.
That's a solid playlist.
Now I'm very interested in the Pass the Ox to Prevent a Pass Being Made playlist. Certainly there's a better name, but
should we do that one too? Playlists in one episode?
Why not? Fuck it.
I mean, I guess we got, you were the one who said, let's keep this brief.
I mean, I smell a segment, Brian.
I do too.
Especially if people, you know, submitted hyper-specific themes for us to make a playlist around.
I like that idea. Okay, so this is going to call...
Hold on. What's the name of this segment?
Let's see. So it probably has playlist in the title, right?
Yeah.
This is called...
Layton and Brian's Infinite Playlist.
Playlist Rescue?
No.
But what were you going to say? You had an idea?
I said Layton and Brian's Infinite Playlist, which is a terrible... name.
That's not bad. I think we can make it pithier, though.
I know. I agree. This is a Let's Playlist.
Let's Playlist. That's it. You got it. Let's Play. It's called Let's Playlist. Yep.
Oh, I hate it.
Perfect.
Hey, guys. Great. What's up?
This is Let's Playlist, the podcast where we make playlists from your ideas. Smash that like button, idiot.
All right. So the second playlist.
This is called Don't Fucking Hit on Me.
Yes. And for the specific circumstance of you've gotten into a lift, you're a young, probably lady alone at night, and you don't want the lift driver.
Okay. It's called Don't Fucking Hit on Me, comma, you're driving. Great. All right, 10 songs. Let's do it.
All right. So
there's,
I guess,
one. Yeah, please. No, please. I insist.
No. I just started talking to talk. I didn't really have an answer.
There is. I was going to say from They Might Be Giants, Apollo 18, in the track Fingertips, which is a bunch of song fragments. There's one that just goes, leave me alone, leave me alone. And I forget which one it is, but we're going to call it Leave Me Alone.
Okay.
By They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I think maybe my brain's heading towards like creepy / unlistenable, like of the throbbing gristle variety.
Oh, okay. Like, do we really want to indicate anything throbbing, though? Just to throw that out there.
Yeah, but
you don't
listen,
want things to be throbbing. They're close to throbbing already. You don't want them to get throbbier.
I mean, the only thing that should be throbbing is the blood vessel in my head or the driver's head.
Do we want?
As they get
I
sick
think we should add a challenge. This should actually be a listenable playlist that just conveys the message. Don't hit on me, okay? I don't want. If we just want to make a bad music playlist, that's a separate thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I want to make a playlist which is good music, which has an agenda.
Good music with an agenda. Okay. All right.
There's... That's Not My Name by the Ting Tings.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Oh my God. I'm really blanking on good choices for this because you'd think that I would have good choices.
What about
for
that
this.
do song from Kill Bill? I believe by the 5678s.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know why I think of it in particular, but it's kind of an annoying, catchy song.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, but it really is like, what is the intent? It's the don't talk to me, shut the fuck up.
Every Breath You Take by the Police.
I think that's given the wrong.
It's pretty, it's stalky.
It is stalky. I think maybe stalking is the, you know, worst case scenario in one of these situations.
Yeah, no, that's true. What about Bad Boys? Bad Boys, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? Right, that song. I don't know who it's by.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's not a yes. I'm not going to put it on until you confirm
it. It's not a strong yes because I'm trying so hard to find, you know, we need to go back to the misandry corner.
Stop in the Name of Love.
Okay. Or, I would take Stop in the Name of Love.
Okay. Stop in the Name of Love. That's what? The Supremes?
I have no idea.
I think it is, right? I might be wrong about that, but I think that's right.
This is not the pick, but this is the first thing I've come across in my liked songs on Spotify that feels appropriate.
Okay.
Louis Prima, I'll Be Glad When You're Dead, You Rascal, You.
Oh, I love Louis Prima. I am very happy to put a Louis Prima song
on this list.
Let's do it. So it's I'll Be Glad When You're Dead.
Yeah. Parentheses, You Rascal, You.
That's great.
And then the opposite of that song would be Just a Gigolo, which is another fantastic song.
Honestly, pretty much all Louis Prima is great.
He's the best.
What's the one where he's going back and forth with the tenor player, Sam? He's like, oh, I got you. It's really fun.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about, and I don't know which song it is.
Yeah.
It might be You Rascal, You.
Is it Oh Marie? It might be Oh Marie. I also really love Banana Split for My Baby.
I don't think I've heard that one.
It's a great song about how he loves that his girlfriend is huge and he just wants her to eat all the time. It's really funny.
King shit.
Banana split for my baby and a glass of plain water for me. It's so cute. It's so cute. I need to turn up the fan here. Great. Okay. So we have a Louis Prima, I'll Be Glad When You're Dead.
What the fuck? Why did they take Nobody Does It Better by Carly Simon off of Spotify? It's all grayed out.
Oh, they did?
That's what happened? That's the best song.
What about Stop by the Spice Girls?
Yes. I like I'm very frustrated with myself right now because I'm blanking on all of my like girl punk band songs that are very anti men.
Don't Speak by No Doubt.
Yeah, perfect. Amazing. Perfect choice.
Fuck You by CeeLo Green. Too combative.
I don't know. We did go for I'll Be Glad When You're Dead and Gone, so I don't think that's true. Fuck You is, you know, a bridge too far.
What about Pretend We're Dead by L7?
I don't know that song.
I don't either, but it's like a girl punk band.
Oh. Well, I don't want to have Stolen Valor.
Okay. Okay. Regretroid by Starbomb.
Never heard of them. This isn't quite there, but it's related to being in cars. There's a song, AM PM Truck by The Garden, that's about almost getting into a car accident, and it's really fun.
Okay, AM PM Truck by The Garden, sure.
Yeah. Anybody listening to this, you would probably like The Garden. The Garden is a very good band.
What about, speaking of trucks, what about the song Human Skin Truck Baby by Memphis Kansas Breeze, the fake band with Drew Tarver and Carl Tart from Comedy Bang Bang? Do you know Human Skin Truck Baby?
No, but I do enjoy
wait.
Carl
okay.
Tart.
Hold on. I'm going to send you a link because this is fantastic. Let's see. Is this a good link for it? Yeah, this is a good one. Okay. This is certainly one of the all-time great Comedy Bang Bang bits. I'm putting it in this private chat here. It has an amazing moment in it. Please tell me when you started. Here, hold on. I want to listen to this together.
Excellent. Yeah,
right?
That's on the list. Yeah, I think I have vague memory of at least seeing that thumbnail. Delightful.
I often think of that moment where they get to, please kill me, I'm constantly in pain. Why do I exist? Please end my life. I think it is so funny.
That's the kind of thing that's going to get really stuck in my head and then become a problem.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, Human Skin Truck Baby is on this list. Why? You're in a car. And it's great. Also, it has the please kill me line in it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, we have two more.
We could do Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers.
Great. Yes, we can.
Which is about men being bad, but also motion sickness, which you could feasibly get in a vehicle that is traveling. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Okay. We need something really like hard to end it. Do we want to put Killing in the Name of? Or Killing in the Name is actually the song. Is the song title.
But does that fit the theme?
It definitely does not. Now, this song, I'm not going to advocate for this song because it is pretty misogynist. But the title is really good, which is You Talk Too Much by Run DMC. You talk too much. You never shut up. I said you talk too much. Girl, you never shut up. The thing is, it is clearly directed at a woman and not, you know, not in a cool way and is.
Yeah, but we could reclaim it. And I think it fits.
Fine. We're going to put that on. You Talk Too Much. What is that from? King of Rock? Chiming in after this episode was recorded to say that I was wrong. The song is not misogynist at all. It's directed at a dude. The lyrics clearly state, homeboy, you never shut up. So guess what? We can listen to it guilt-free. Enjoy.
Well, that playlist was certainly a lot more difficult than the first one.
Yeah, so let me just read it off at the end here. Leave Me Alone from Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. That's Not My Name by the Ting Tings. Stop in the Name of Love by, I didn't double check it, but we think it's the Supremes. I'll Be Glad When You're Dead by Louis Prima. Stop by the Spice Girls. Don't Speak by No Doubt. AMPM Truck by, was it The Garden?
Yeah.
Human Skin Truck Baby by Memphis Kansas Breeze, Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers, and You Talk Too Much by Run DMC.
I think that's a solid list.
Two good fucking playlists right there.
And that's been Let's Playlist.
Let's Playlist. I'll put in a theme song right there. Girl. And now, speaking of segments, Layton, speaking of segments, it is time for... Uh-oh. Come in. Come in. Is it an emergent? I'm on with Layton right now.
It's really, really funny.
Okay, something really funny is happening.
Okay,
can you give me one moment here?
I couldn't possibly interrupt that, so please go.
I'll be back in 2 seconds. So, Layton? Layton? Layton?
Hi. What's going
Layton?
On? Hello?
So, you know how we have a screen and a glass door, right?
Yes.
In the backyard? Well, a little lizard clung itself onto the inside of the screen. And he decided it would be a good idea to hang out there.
Oh my god, he's so little.
Yeah, we tried to get him. But he climbed, Dad caught him, but then he jumped out of Dad's hands and climbed in the house. So we were just able to actually grab him.
Wow.
It was very funny. That's what I needed Dad for, to help me get him out.
Understandable.
I'm going to go get the lizard now, see.
All right, I love you. Bye.
Oh, here.
Okay.
Lizard shenanigans.
Lizard shenanigans. Yes, I grabbed it, and we set it free outside, and it almost got in the house, which would be a nightmare.
Indeed.
But you know, it's not a nightmare. Actually, which is quite the opposite, which is a what I call a dream come true type situation here. This week on Late Night with Brian Wecht, which is we have I wouldn't call it the first segment of the show because we just did we premiered a new segment, Let's Playlist. But this is our first regular segment on the show, the kind of segment that we do every week. A fan favorite. Most people have called it their favorite segment. And most of those people are fans, which is why I called it a fan favorite. And this is the kind of thing people I've heard. People come up to me. They say, sir, you know, I really enjoy your podcast, sir. It's the highlight of my week. It brings me to tears of joy every time you and Layton, your co-host, you bring some small measure of joy to my life. And largely not through the first part of the episode, which is usually yammering on with some guest, or in this case by ourselves, but usually in the second half of the episode, or indeed usually it's like the latter third most of the time, where you do your segments. And there are two great segments, like, to be sure, both segments are great. But one of them, and this I'm quoting directly from something someone said to me the other day, and I wrote it down because that's how much I liked it. They said, I really like that first segment the most. It's definitely the theme song because it really sets, and again, this is a direct quote. It sets a perfect mood. It really sets the scene for what you're trying to accomplish and succeeding at beyond all reasonable measure. And I thought that was an unusual phrase, which is why I remember it. Beyond all reasonable measure, right? Because who gets to decide what's reasonable? Certainly not me. This is no longer a quote. This is just me talking. I don't get to decide what's reasonable to other people. Everyone can kind of do that themselves. But I wonder who is the arbiter of this, but I guess everyone just gets to do that. But I would guess, and now I'm quoting again, I would guess that in this particular case, reasonability is set by me, the person that's coming up to you, Brian Wecht. See, you might have gotten confused there because of the change in the subject of the sentence, but I think I clarified that as we go. And the thing that really brightens my day, my week, my month, my year, my life is the first segment, which, and I remember the person came up to me called That's Poppin'. And I said, no, that's not the title of the segment. The title of the segment is What's Poppin'. And they said, oh my God, sir, I'm so sorry. I really screwed that up. How can I ever make it up to you? And I said, leave us a 5-star review on an Apple podcast because it really helps the show. And they said, I'm going to go do that right away. And then they ran off into the mist, and I never saw them again. I forgot to ask their name. I don't really know any demographic info about them, except they are a listener of the show. So if that listener is you, First of all, thank you so much for your comments. We do appreciate the feedback, but also thank you for your 5-star review. This is our first segment, which is called What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's poppin'?
What's poppin'? That was the theme song for What's Poppin'. Layton, what's
What's poppin' for me?
I just want to say, I know you asked that we keep this episode short before, and I did, to the best of my ability, keep that segment compact. But
under 30 seconds,
it was a very, very nice interaction with that nameless fan of the show.
Right. Yeah.
Which doesn't happen that much, you know. it's the kind of thing that it stood out to me, and the reason I remember it so well is because it doesn't happen that often. You know, I get approached by fans all the time. I mean, all the time.
Right. Yeah.
But to have someone be that specific about that segment of the show and the show in general was something that really, really stood out to me. So anyway, I'm done. You may continue.
What's
poppin'? Is what the fans said to me in the middle of the conversation in a part that I forgot to quote before.
I swear to God. What's poppin' for me is that... What's...
What? Can't a gentleman take a drink of water? It's hot out. I don't understand why me hydrating
You should stay hydrated. What's poppin' for me is the book I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Hartman, a title that at present I am quite frankly envious of, which is a post-apocalyptic novel. Well, I guess it's sort of a reveal that it's post-apocalyptic, but it's not a spoiler. But it just starts with a bunch of women are in this bunker and they're male guards.
Yeah.
And they remember having lives before, but it's been decades, and so those memories are hazy. They don't remember how they got there, and the protagonist was like a child and has grown up in this captivity. And then one day, as they're being given food by the guards, and their cage is unlocked, as they're being given food, a huge siren goes off. All the guards look panicked and flee. And so, of course, the women take the opportunity to escape their prison and discover that they are in the middle of nowhere with no landmarks, no vegetation, no sign of where the guards went, just absolutely nothing. And the rest of the book is them exploring wherever it is they are and trying to figure out why they were there and if there's anybody else still alive. And that's a little like it was fantastic. It has big Fallout vibes. It really reminds me of like the last few chapters of The Metamorphosis of Prime Intellect. Brian, have you read Metamorphosis of Prime Intellect?
I have not.
Oh, I'd be so curious to hear your thoughts on it. It's goofy, but it's one of my favorite things to reread. But it reminds me a little bit of that. For listeners, if you like Metamorphosis of Prime Intellect, you would like this. It is a book that is so unsparing in you're not getting any answers. We're not going to tell you shit. That's the point. And I found it very, very compelling and enjoyable. So I, Who Have Never Known Men, highly recommend.
I love it.
What's poppin' for you?
What's poppin' for me is also a book. This week, it is the book Black Swan Green by David Mitchell. Probably at some point in our 4+ years of podcasting, I have discussed my love for David Mitchell's books. Do you know David Mitchell, Layden?
No.
He is the author, famously, of Cloud Atlas.
Yes. Okay, then we have talked about him.
Yeah, I think probably in a What's Poppin'. He's just... is a great writer. He does a bunch of different kind of genre stuff from time to time. And Black Swan Green is the book published right after Cloud Atlas. And the amazing thing about David Mitchell, which you may recall, is that it turns out that all of his books are in a shared universe, the DMCU, as I call it. and characters and, you know, relatives and themes show up kind of across his books. And you don't need to know that for most of them. It makes reading them a little richer when you do. And it's just, his books are great. This book is basically like a coming of age-ish story. It's a year in the life of a teenager in the middle of England in the 80s, early 80s, I think. And it's just, I'm about 100 pages into it, and it's already great. I've had it for a long time and just kind of never got around to it. But like all David Mitchell books, it's just well-written and a joy to read. So Black Swan Green by David Mitchell, which is probably about 20 years old now. I looked it up. It is 2006. So, okay. Yeah.
I also recently read a book that took place in London in the 80s, which was Will Self's reinterpretation of A Picture of Dorian Gray, just called Dorian. That's like same story, but against the backdrop of like the AIDS epidemic with lots of drug use. And it's
that's interesting. Yeah.
I thought it was great. I had never read A Picture of Dorian Gray before, which I'm reading now. So it was interesting reading sort of the riff on it, but really enjoyable. And now that I'm going back and reading the original, it's like, oh my God, this is so gay. this was yeah, already so gay.
Yes, like much of Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, of course. God bless him.
Have you seen the Dorian Gray picture that's in the Art Institute of Chicago?
No.
I think that's where it is.
Yo, that's sick.
Isn't that great? I forget who the artist is, but it's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, I liked that the sort of the riff on it in Dorian was that instead of a painting, it's like a CRT video installation that's called Cathode Narcissus. So I love a little Nam June Paik fuckery going on there as these, you know, tapes are decaying and he's getting gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Now it is time for our final segment, which is three parts gratitude exercise, one part petty grousing. The name of the segment is Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song goes right here.
Peaches and Lemons. Peaches and Lemons.
Excellent right. Theme song. Very good.
Stunning.
Theme song.
Yeah.
We will each start with a lemon, which is a thing that is a minor bummer or annoyance. My lemon is that I had a meeting for my real job this morning. Mm-hmm. I woke up an hour after the meeting.
Oh no.
I have not slept through a meeting in a long time, and it is horrifically embarrassing. Oh, and it also is the worst because it's like you wake up and it's already done. It's the first thing that you're cognizant of is I fucked that up. I'm afraid to check my email.
Did your alarm not go off? Did you just turn it off?
No, I set four alarms and all four of them went off, as I was informed by my phone upon waking. So what happened?
You were just out.
Why did that happen? Yeah. So that's humiliating as a young professional. I don't know how I'm going to live that one down, because just a horrifying thing to do, even though it's
very embarrassing.
Basic.
Yes. Very embarrassing.
What's your lemon, Brian?
I have so many to choose from since we last recorded. It's been a real fucker of a month for me, honestly. With some definite highs and some real lows.
And some real woes.
Yeah, highs, lows, and woes. You know it. That's the story of my life, baby. I think for my lemon, I'm just going to choose, we kind of talked about this before, but my lemon is getting a show canceled day of by a venue that was just like, no, and this seems like made up an excuse. So I was supposed to do a Trey show with the Super Guitar Bros, who were driving in from Michigan in New York.
I traveled for,
they were driving in, and the day of the show, about 6 hours before soundcheck, they said, nope, venue's closed, show's off, sorry, bye. And that sucks. They drove for nothing. Their bros were very cool about it. Totally get it. Wasn't on me. Like, there's literally nothing. I don't feel guilty because there's nothing anyone could have done, but it just sucks. So I, you know, luckily they paid us a kill fee, which I would not exactly call generous, but it was something. So I was able to, you know, pay the bros a little bit and pay myself a little bit. But still, I wanted to play a show in New York, hometown show. First headlining show in New York as Trey. Didn't happen. And I've been practicing it for a while.
Open now or closed?
I don't know. I'm not even checking. Sure. Let's just say I don't think they're open, but I'm not sure.
All right. But
yeah, the reason they gave was, quote, urgent soundproofing issues, which is not a thing that has ever happened, ever. So.
Nope. Well, yeah. Fuck them and fuck that.
Fuck them and fuck that. Well said. Well said.
Now we will each do peaches. And because I so fully empathize with your past month of fuckery, watching it from a distance has been sad. Would you like to do your peaches first?
Oh, sure. I will happily do my peaches first. Peach number one, I mentioned before, got to spend some fun dad-daughter time, taking Audrey to a Dodgers game and to an arcade and ice cream and fun kid stuff. Love spending time with my daughter, and it's fun. There is truly no better thing than taking your kid for ice cream. It's just the best. Especially when they're enthusiastically talking at you about Minecraft through a mouthful of purple ice cream. That's a true
stuff.
Journey. Yep. Peach number two. I actually didn't write any of these down. I am in a couple weeks going up to Toronto to record the Trey Holiday EP, and I can't wait to do that and see everybody there. And peach number three is because this show got canceled in New York, I was actually able to have dinner with some lovely college friends I otherwise wouldn't have had much time to catch up with. So, you know, life gave us lemons, but, you know, we turned them into, what's that thing?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It is, you drink it, piss. That's what it is. We turned them
naturally
into piss.
Yes. That is the phrase.
Yeah. So. That's it. I don't live in New York. My New York friends, I don't get to see enough, and I dearly love them. And having a dinner together was great.
All right. I will do my peaches. My first peach is that I got to see some beloved gamers who I do not get to see in person much anymore, i.e. Mm-hmm. Twerp and Mr. Aaron Hansen. So I got to hang out with those folks. And, you know, in close enough proximity to my birthday. So that's the best birthday gift a gamer could ask for.
Yeah.
My second peach is the Steam Deck fucking rules. It is so great. As a hardcore gamer and also a very lazy gamer, being horizontal and playing games that you wouldn't be able to... that previously would be locked behind me sitting at my desk.
I know. The ignominy.
Indeed. And life is tough when you have to sit at your desk after doing your work all day at a desk and then you want a game. You're going to keep sitting at the same desk when you could be in bed, mere feet away, gaming.
In bed, callback, while fucking.
Yes. One of the things that I really love about the Steam Deck is that it has like your regular left and right triggers, but it also has four extra triggers like on the bottom.
We should have put in a trigger warning before you said that.
Indeed. But like where your pinky and...
Hold on. I need to talk about cancel culture for a minute.
Uh-huh. I'm canceling you talking about cancel culture so I can talk about...
Double cancellation. I can't fight back. That's Uno rules.
That's very true. So the like ring and pinky finger spots, they each have their own trigger and you can assign the triggers to do whatever. I can't believe that this hasn't been like a thing
That's
with
cool.
previous handhelds. It's like, here's all this extra shit. Like in New Vegas, I have like the way that you pull the triggers, it's almost like you're kind of squeezing the whole thing. So something about being able to like pull up my Pip-Boy menu by squeezing, like something about that just feels right to me. So anyway, Steam Deck, worth it. Love it. I got the OLED, so cool. The screen's gorgeous. You can customize the shit out of it. It's great. My third peach, I just wrote, It's good to be back. I don't know what that means. Where'd back, I go? I didn't go anywhere.
Back podcasting together? Back.
No, definitely not that. No. Here's what it is.
No, not that. Okay.
It's good to be back.
Definitely not that.
It's good to be back playing Fallout New Vegas is what I meant.
I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah, you should. I have logged 20 something hours in it since I've received my Steam Deck, which was over the weekend. It's Tuesday. Nice.
0.005% of your previous time.
Yeah. But it's just... It's my favorite game for a reason. There's so much stuff. I'm doing things slightly differently on this run, so I'm seeing a lot of dialogue that I had not seen before. And what can I say? It's the goods, and I'll never shut up about it to all the people who are trying to keep me down and suppress my voice as a gamer in podcasting.
That anytime you say the goods, it reminds me of that Mr. Show moment from the audition sketch where Dino Stamatopoulos looks at David Cross and goes, "Kid, you got the goods."
And well, David listen, Cross Brian. Says,
really? So great. Yeah.
Rich, I'm going to need a clip of Brian doing that. The really? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got the goods. Some people have it and some people don't.
Some people have it and some people don't. Truer words were never spoken.
Well, some podcasts have it, some podcasts don't. But this one does have it, and by it, I mean the ending. Goodbye.
Yeah, you've tried the rest. Now try us. Bye.
See ya.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at Leighton Night, on Instagram at Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.